You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking about another theme in the child-centered play therapy model. And we're still working through the power and control themes. So we've been doing this for several weeks in a row now. And once we get through the power and aggressive themes, we'll be moving into the nurturing themes, which is exciting. We still have a couple left in this category. So today we are talking through the powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure. So I often notate this as power or control. So I just shorten it to power/control when I'm documenting and making notes of themes that I'm observing. But the powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure, this is really specific because this does not involve clear good versus bad distinction. Because if it did, it would go in good versus bad play. And it does not include aggressive components. And if so, it would go under aggression play. So this is specifically powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure. And the emphasis of this theme is on strength and power. So we specifically see control and strength and power being demonstrated. So for example, there's one dinosaur that is stronger and bigger and more powerful than all the rest. And no one else can beat that dinosaur, and no one else can conquer anything, and no one else has any chance against this most powerful, controlling, strong dinosaur. And so you'll often see this in narrative and imaginative play. So when they're running dialogue about what they're playing involves characters, they will often say, and no one can beat this one, or this one's the strongest, or this one's the most powerful, or this one's in charge. So you will definitely hear them discuss that sometimes, but sometimes it's very obvious just watching as well. And again, remember, the emphasis is on strength and power, specifically overcoming the weaker figure. So you can see this also played out in first person in the child's play, in scenarios where there's a parent and a child engaging, and the parent is the powerful figure that takes over the weaker figure, or the teacher and student, for example. So the teacher will have the power and take over the weaker student. And sometimes that can role reverse. We've talked about that before, right? So when the child feels in a position of inferiority, they will put themselves in a position of superiority so that they can actually switch their traditional role. So if in the school setting, they're the student that's always getting in trouble by the teacher, they will in the playroom switch to where the teacher is now them, and they have all of the power overcoming the weaker figure of the student. So it's not always the older person in the dynamic has the power. It doesn't necessarily have to fall that way. But keep in mind, you have to see one character having power and the other character having weakness. And that's typically how you will see the powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure play itself out. So what might this mean to the child? So they're playing out either having all of the power as the stronger figure or having none of the power as the weaker figure. Oftentimes this means that the child really just feels weak or powerless themselves. And so therefore they're compensating by trying to feel strong. So they're identifying with the powerful figure with all the strength because in real life, they're actually feeling weak and powerless. So often you will see that in kids that have familial upheaval. So parents have recently separated, they're going through a divorce. There's some kind of relational dynamic that has changed, and the child feels very out of control and powerless over those situations. You'll see them play situations out like this. You'll also see kids that get in trouble a lot in school or with authority figures play this out a lot. Another option for meaning for the child is that they might be encountering some kind of negative power figure in their life. And so they're trying to sort it out. So this could be a demanding teacher, a demanding parent, a friend who's actually being quite mean or bullying toward your client, an older sibling that is very mean and has all of the power over your client. So if there's any kind of negative power figure in the child's life, they will sometimes play out this powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure as well. And then another possible meaning is they are demonstrating needs for mastery. So one of the things that we look at is rationale behind the play. And so if there is just a normal demonstration of power over weakness, and it's a healthy mastery and initiative type of play, then that is kind of in its own unique category versus wanting to feel strong, wanting to feel powerful. They do feel weak. They don't like that feeling. They have someone in their life that is very power hungry. Those are different dynamics than just the normal need for initiative and mastery that can sometimes be associated with a powerful figure overcoming a weaker. So in this scenario, you really do have to be present and engaged and aware of the why behind the theme. And you will be able to tell that pretty readily through their play and how the play is unfolding in the session with you. So I hope that is helpful. That is the powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure theme. And again, I usually notate that power/control when I'm documenting that. And this is another of the power and aggressive themes. And we have two more. And then once we finish those final two, we'll be moving into the family and nurturing themes. Just as a side note, I'm not sure if I've talked about this a whole lot of times, maybe only once or twice, but so many of you have emailed me and let me know that you are listening to both podcasts. I wanted to make it very clear that I do have two podcasts, and I'm going to do this on the Play Therapy Parenting one as well. So there's kind of some cross dialogue going on. But I want you to be aware, this Play Therapy podcast was designed specifically for therapists, counselors, and clinicians to kind of be a masterclass in the child-centered model. And it evolved to me answering listener questions because I was getting so many of them. So this is very much an interactive podcast specifically for therapists and child-centered, theoretically oriented therapists specifically. Here's what's interesting. So many of you are telling me that you're talking about this podcast to all of your colleagues and fellow therapists and other clinicians with whom you interact. So thank you, first of all, for that. The more ears that this reaches, the more fulfilled I am. However, my Play Therapy Parenting podcast is the original podcast, and that has been going on much longer. That is specifically for parents and caregivers and adults who love kids to have just practical parenting tips, practical advice for raising kids, raising happy kids, healthy kids, specifically through a child-centered play therapy lens. So I bring that up to let you know, if you work with parents, and obviously if you're doing play therapy, you are working with parents. So I have, 100 and some odd episodes in the Play Therapy Parenting podcast archives. So I've covered reflecting feelings, choice giving, limit setting, encouragement. I've covered the rules of thumb from the child-parent relationship therapy training. I've covered topical situations like how to deal with death of a pet, death of a loved one, how to deal with deployment or a family member leaving, how to deal with difficult topics. So I've covered all kinds of discussions in the Play Therapy Parenting podcast. And so if you feel that your parents would benefit from that, I've had a lot of you reach out and let me know that you recommend my parenting podcast to all of your parents. So again, thank you. And I just wanted to make you aware, as the Play Therapy podcast family, you can absolutely utilize the resources that I already have out there to help your parents understand these principles, learn these skills, implement some of this with your children that you're working with, because obviously the more the parents understand and are bought in, the more effective the entire process is. So please feel free to use both, either for yourself, for your parents, for your colleagues, whomever you think would benefit from these podcasts. Share them, talk about them. It would really mean a lot to me to just kind of blanket the world with the child-centered model. And as a related aside, if you get value from this podcast, if you have been able to use these skills and tools and it's made you a better therapist, I would love you to subscribe. If you haven't, I would love you to rate the podcast. It helps us rank higher the more reviews we have and the more people that let others know about this podcast. So if you haven't, please subscribe. Please give it a review. It would really mean a lot so that more people can find us. As always, I look forward to chatting with you again soon. We will discuss a listener question in the next episode. Talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.